What a beautiful prayer song that was. That last phrase, that last verse caught my attention. Spirit of adoption, make us overflow. Pray that God would do that in our lives through His Holy Spirit, that we would overflow. Reminds me of the verse that Jesus spoke. He said, I think it might have been John the Baptist, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Actually, that was, I think, Jesus. Spirit was not yet given. And anyway, that's God's desire for the Christian. God's desire for the Christian, for us here on this earth, is not a mediocre, barely can make it through the week type of Christianity. That is not what God is showing us from the Word of God. He wants us to be overflowing. He wants the Spirit of God to just flow out of us, and that we would spill out over others. Maybe that's too idealistic, but we find it in the Word of God, so let's believe it. Welcome, everyone, this morning. It's good to see us all again here, gathered together in this way. Blessing to have visitors here. Thankful that you could join us. It encourages our heart to have you among us. So, blessing to gather again in this way after being together Friday evening and Saturday, and in a way that we normally aren't on a Sunday morning service or Wednesday evening service. And it was a pleasure to be there and just bless each other in a different way. Let's pray. Dear Father, we come before you this morning. We feel our great need of you. Spirit of adoption, we ask that you would come and overflow in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we are adopted children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you that you have made us accepted in the Beloved, and that we can claim you as our Father, and that you have promised us to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Lord, those thoughts are too lofty for me to understand and comprehend, but I will believe them by faith. Lord, we ask this morning that you would speak to the depth of our heart and cause us to have a hunger and a thirst after you. Pray, God, that the word, the seed of the Word of God that gets put forth today and heard, that it would take root and grow. Or we want to be like a mustard seed that grows and spreads forth branches so that the world can find rest and shade underneath, Lord, as they go through their difficult journeys. That our Christian lives would be like a great seed, a tree. God, would you help us? We can't do this alone, Lord. We need your Holy Spirit to fill us and guide us. Pray, God, that the words that I have prepared would be your words. Lord, I pray that you would use them as you see fit and take them away as you see fit. Pray, God, that for every heart here today, those that are listening in over the phone line, Lord, we pray that they would hear and be edified by your word, by your truth. Give us strength and grace today and courage to continue on in our Christian life. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and caring us so much that you allowed us to gather again this morning. And thank you for sending Jesus Christ as our Savior to take care of this big sin problem that we have. Lord, we thank you that you have made a way possible and that we have a way of escape. Pray that you would bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Several weeks ago, we looked at John chapter 10. And we looked at a message that I had titled "The Voice of the Voice of Strangers." And we will turn to John 10 this morning and read this again. And why don't we do that first? Kind of set our minds on this again. We will read verse 1 through 16. John 10, 1 through 16, the parable of the shepherd. In this parable, Jesus comes at this from several different angles. At one point, he says that he is the shepherd. Another place, he says that he is the door. And he talks about his voice and how the sheep hear the voice. And he talks about the hireling. And so there's many aspects. We could preach a week of sermons on this passage just because of all the different parts that he brings out. Very rich, unique piece of scripture here that I very much enjoy. But let's read verse 1 through 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things that which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and he leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The focus of our message the last time, like I said, was on the voice of the stranger that we found in the beginning of the chapter, verse 5, I think it is. Talked about the voice of the stranger. We looked at what is that? What is that voice of the stranger? And we looked at how sometimes the voice of the stranger comes from within us. It's inside us. But then there's other times that the voice of the stranger is outside and it's trying to fill our ears and to overwhelm us. Some of the voices that come from within us are voices like this. This voice that says, I can never be good enough. That voice is not from God. That's from the stranger. That's not from the good shepherd. I'm never good enough. That's a voice that comes from within us, and it's the voice of a stranger. Another voice that comes from within us is, it's no use to try. That's the voice, actually, that's the voice of the devil. He's trying to bring us down low. There's also the voice of a hireling, and maybe, Lord willing, we might have another message on that. But it's no use to try. That does not come from the good shepherd. We also looked at nobody cares about me. That's also a voice from the stranger. Is that true? And we determined last time, no, that's not true. So that can't be God, because God is truth only. That's a voice of the stranger. It comes from within us. And sometimes another voice that we hear from within us is, life is not fair. Well, that is true. But it's still the voice of a stranger. Life is not equal. And sometimes life doesn't seem fair, but God is still just. And we still have faith. So that is also a voice of a stranger. Another voice of the stranger is saying, I have no value. I am I just have no value. I'm no good. That's not true. God values you. God says that you are accepted in the beloved. Ephesians 1. We are accepted in him. So that I have no value is not true. It's a voice of a stranger. Another voice of the stranger from within us is, I am better than others. And sometimes we need to go and read Proverbs a little bit, if that is how we feel. That's a voice of a stranger. Other voices from without are voices from music. This is more practical, maybe more things that we do or engage in. It might be podcasts or messages that we listen to. That can be a voice of a stranger, because sometimes we don't know who these people are that are preaching to us through digital media. And we would never put a strange preacher behind our pulpit. Why should we listen to them? Digital media in general, that might be internet, it might be all forms of digital music. That is the voice of a stranger. Shopping can be a voice of a stranger, where we're just engaged in, we need to have and get. And the Bible tells us that our life consists not of the abundance of things we have. Co-workers and our peers can be sometimes misleading and can be a voice of a stranger, not blaming everybody or all. And sometimes work or the drive to work is a voice of a stranger. So we looked at all those. We're going to leave that behind. I just wanted to set that stage to help us remember where we were. And we briefly looked at the voice of the shepherd. And the voice of the shepherd is always easy to understand. The voice of the shepherd is not confusing. It comes in various ways. It might be through the word of God, the Bible. It might be through prayer, through songs. We heard the voice of the shepherd this morning a number of different times. Might be through sermons. It could be through other believers, and it could simply be the Holy Ghost speaking to us. Or sometimes our conscience pricking us. That's the voice of the shepherd. He is calling us, and he is leading us. So we want to take a little deeper dive this morning and listen, or we want to learn more about the voice of the shepherd. But in order to hear the voice of the shepherd more clearly, we have to also deal with the voice of the stranger that fills our mind. Yesterday at Family Day, while we were having devotions, there was a voice of a stranger that was annoying us. His voice of a stranger was annoying us. We could still sing. We heard the songs. And we heard Brother Mose sharing. We heard him pray. And our hearts connected with it. But there was a voice of a stranger, always also known as the generator, that was in the background. It's just humming away, buzzing there. It was just annoying, distracting, noisy. Voice of a stranger. But then somebody shut the generator off, cut the power to this voice of the stranger, and it became quiet. We heard the birds sing. We heard that little creek in the background. And it was just restful and peaceful. Now, it was the message was loud and clear. We can ask us this question. What is the noise that is in the background of my life, of my mind, that is just a noise back there? It's necessary, maybe. The generator was necessary. At one point, we decided it's not necessary anymore, and we can still have a hot meal, even if it's a little bit later. So it's not that necessary. We'll cut it off. But what is that noise that fills our minds? It is back there that hinders us from clearly hearing the voice of the stranger. Yes, I mean the voice of the shepherd. Yes, we hear the voice of the shepherd. And we seem to have that connection. And God is still real to us. But this little annoyance in the background. What is it? What is the noise that's back there? What is hindering us from hearing the shepherd? We are in perilous times where there are hirelings out there and they are putting distractions in our life. We heard about that this morning. Sometimes these distractions that we tend to fill our schedule with. Yes, we have schedules that are necessary, but we have these distractions. We think that we have to engage in them. And we are in perilous times. It could come in forms of digital media. It could be financial challenges. And it could be work or wealth. It might be our independence and our self-sufficiency. Sometimes we have to just cut the generator and deal with the noise of the stranger and the noisy voices around us so that we can clearly focus on the voice of the shepherd. But we don't want to focus today on the distractions like the generator. We want to focus today on more clearly hearing the voice of the shepherd and trying to understand what it means to hear the voice of the shepherd. What does that mean for us today? How does that feel? How does that, is that very practically done? What does it mean to hear the voice of the shepherd? For our main text, we want to go to John chapter 10, verse 27. Just one verse here. Okay, we will pull out a number of thoughts about the voice of the shepherd. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Those are three simple statements. My sheep, if we are sheep, if we are of the fold of Jesus Christ, we hear his voice. And if we hear his voice, he knows us. It's very simple. And if we hear his voice, we follow him. So that is a profound verse. I think if we read it over and over and let it sink in and just grasp all the little nuances of that verse, it is astounding. The sheep hear his voice. The shepherd knows his sheep. And the sheep follow. It is that simple. But it is that difficult. Because sometimes we have just a hard time with that. Hearing the shepherd's voice happens when we are born again. And if you have never heard the shepherd's voice, let me suggest you probably are not born again. Or if you have not responded to the shepherd's voice, maybe you heard the shepherd's voice and you pushed it off. That's conviction. You have this conviction in your heart and you just put it off. And you just don't deal with it. The shepherd is trying to talk to you, but it's not now. I'm too busy. Or like, was it Felix or Festus? I think it was Felix. He said, some more convenient time. Some time when I'm not so busy with my schedule. Then I will consider that. Hearing the shepherd's voice happens when we're born again. The shepherd called out to us, called us out of the world, and we answered. We said, yes. It also happens many times after that initial calling. The shepherd does not just talk to us when he is trying to, it says he knocks at the door. No, he knocks at the door. He asks that he'd like to come in. But it's not just at that time. It's afterward. The shepherd talks to us, and we should expect it, and we want it. The shepherd's voice, we should hear that many times in our life. But my question for us, for you that maybe have never responded to the Lord, is have you heard the shepherd's voice? Have you heard the voice of the shepherd? Did you respond to that voice? Jesus calls his sheep, and if you are one of his sheep, you hear his voice, according to this word. If you are one of his sheep, you hear his voice. I just love the natural response here. Jesus knows his sheep, the sheep hear his voice. But the question is then for us, does Jesus know us? Does Jesus know you? We have to ask that question. In John 7, 22 to 23, it says here, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done wonderful works? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That can be a little scary verse, almost scary. It's like they hear these people, they're professing some sort of activity, a religious activity. I don't know if they, I don't know the full details, but it can almost cause us to tremble a little bit. What's going on? Why is the Lord saying, depart from you, I never knew you? But this verse here says, the sheep hear his voice, and he knows us. And we follow him. We'll get more into this. Let's turn to Matthew 25, and we'll read verse 11 through 13. Similar verse here. Matthew 25, verse 11 through 13. This is a parable at the end of the parable of the 10 virgins. Some of them had gone in, they were prepared, they had their lamps burning and bright, and the bridegroom came. And verse 11, afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. I know ye not, neither the day nor the hour. And he answered them and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. We'll stop there. What does he mean there? Why is that? Why is he saying that? I believe what he's saying here, it's not enough, according to our passage here, it's not enough just to hear his voice. We must also be known of the shepherd, and we must follow him. If we just hear his voice and don't respond by following him, then we're just making a profession and not taking action in our Christian walk. So we want to look at some thoughts here. What did Jesus mean when he said his sheep follow him? What did he mean by that? What did he mean when he said his sheep follow him? In Middle Eastern or African settings, a shepherd will lead his sheep and he will go out ahead of them. He goes first. The shepherd will go first and the sheep follow his footsteps. I've been told that sheep follow the shepherd so closely that if there's a log or something and the shepherd jumps over there, all the sheep, they jump over that log one by one, and somebody can pull the log out of the way and they will still jump. They are following the shepherd very closely. My sheep aren't tame enough. I'm not that good of a shepherd. I guess I'm an American shepherd and depend on a fence. And so I would like to be a shepherd in that way sometime if I had time in my schedule. And just watch a sheep behave in this way. But I'm convinced that it is true. The shepherd goes out ahead. If the shepherd goes up through a rough mountainside, the sheep follow. They would just go right after him. If the shepherd goes to the green pastures, that's where the sheep go. There are many aspects of following that we could look at, but we have several points we want to look at. What it means. What it means to follow. We want to look at denying self, at cross-bearing. We want to look at trusting, serving, suffering. And then we want to look at the abundant life and eternal security. Those are all parts of what it really means to us in a practical sense to follow. See, as we consider Jesus, he went through this life already before us. And he went ahead of us. He went through these difficult journeys, and he went through seasons of blessings and joy. Now we follow him. We also go through difficult places. We also go through seasons of difficult times, but also seasons of joy. So the first point we ought to look at is denying self. A sheep that hears the voice of the shepherd and follows him will deny himself. He will not be self-focused. He will be following focused. Denying self. Matthew, turn to Matthew 16:24. Matthew 16:24. And then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, that would be following, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If any man wants to be my disciple, let him follow himself, follow me and deny himself. Let him deny himself. Self-denial and following go hand in hand. They go right with each other. Philippians 3:8 says, yea, doubtless, and I count, this is Apostle Paul speaking, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He says, all these things that used to be important to me, I deny myself from them, that I may win Christ. He was determined to follow after his Lord and just deny himself, lay down his flesh, and follow. Following and self-denying are very close together. They go hand in hand. If we really want to be followers of our Lord, after we hear his voice and he knows us, now we follow him, it requires a denying of our flesh and just laying things down that our flesh, our old man, wants to do. Because if we don't deny ourselves, we are following our flesh and we are not following Christ. We are following the desires of my flesh. My flesh says, I want to do this or I want to do that. And we follow after our flesh. We are not following Christ. We can't follow both. We can't follow our flesh and ourselves and Christ at the same time. Apostle Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He said, I put my body under these desires of the flesh. Just bring them down. I put them down. Another aspect of following and what it means to follow, and I might stop here, Justin. This might sound like a message about following. And in one sense it is, but following is the result of hearing the voice of the shepherd. It is the result of hearing the voice of the shepherd. It's not good enough just to hear the voice of the shepherd and say, okay, I heard the Lord, and now I'm good forever. And the world wants to teach us that type of Christianity. That's not sufficient in the kingdom of heaven. It requires us to follow. So this might seem like a message of following, but it really is the response to hearing the voice of the shepherd. We want to walk that out. Cross-bearing is our next point. Self-denial and cross-bearing perhaps might seem like the same thing, but it seems that cross-bearing takes it to a deeper level, just a deeper level. Apostle Paul uses the words like mortify the flesh and delivered unto death, crucify your members. That seems morbid, but it is. It is sometimes the things that we are dealing with, we need to crucify that flesh. We'll look at some verses here. Self-denial is to not make provision for the flesh. Cross-bearing is to mortify the deeds of the flesh. So self-denial is you're denying these things in your life to not make provision to the fleshly lust. But cross-bearing takes it one step farther, where you're actually cutting those things off. You're getting rid of these things. Let's turn to Romans 8:13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. That is a strong statement. If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. That's also a strong statement. It's a powerful statement. Do you struggle with mortifying a certain area of your flesh? Where maybe it's just an area of your flesh, it just gains victory, just can't get over. This thing just got a grip on you. This is the answer to that struggle. Try getting on your knees every morning and pleading with God to fill you anew with His Spirit so that you can, through the power of the Spirit, crucify the deeds of your body. I'm sure that if you do that out of desperation every day, just pleading with God to fill you afresh, so that through that Spirit, you can mortify the deeds of the flesh. Eventually, your flesh will die. I know I've used this illustration many times or several times before, and I use it again about having this basket of snakes. And you have this snake that finds its way out of the basket, and you whack it over the head. And then it comes out again, and you whack it again. And you keep on whacking this snake. Eventually, that snake is going to shrivel up and die. But if you take that snake comes out and you just feed it a little bit, and every time you feed it a little bit, eventually that snake is going to get big, and it's going to get out of that basket, and you're in trouble. If you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall, through the Spirit, you shall live. Now, I like that little phrase, through the Spirit, because we can't do this in our own strength. If we do it in our own strength, well, then we don't need Christ, and then we're not following. We are just doing it on our own, and that is not going to work. I know, I've tried it. I've tried it already, and it's the human nature to go there. We always will just, I'm going to wrestle my way through this. We're not strong enough. Our flesh will always win. It will. But if we mortify the deeds of the flesh, that's the cross-bearing. You know, the cross-bearing in the Bible, it meant that you are going to a place to die. If you take your flesh, this area in your life, to its own personal Golgotha and allow the Spirit of God to crucify it, it will die. It might not happen overnight. But if you take that thing, Jesus said, take up your cross daily. What did he mean by that? It's a daily struggle. But eventually, that flesh will die. But we have to stay connected with that Spirit so that flesh stays dead. And that may not be popular in Christian teaching today. But it's the Word of God. We must press on and allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives. So following is denying self. Following is also cross-bearing. Matthew 10:38 says, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. That's one of those, again, those really almost shattering statements. Is really? So if I don't take my cross to my personal Golgotha and crucify the flesh, I'm not worthy of Christ. That's what it says. It's stunning. Brothers and sisters, we have to take this flesh to our own personal Golgotha and allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives so that thing dies. We'll leave it there. The third thing about following is trusting. Sheep are such trusting creatures. They just will trust you. If they're tame and they get used to you, they trust you and go anywhere. Trusting is an aspect of following. Because our Savior has gone through these hard valleys when he walked on this earth, we too will go through these hard valleys, and we will follow him. And he might take us over the mountainsides because he wants to break us and make us more Christ-like. In those hard valleys, we learn to trust God. We learn to trust him. He led us there. And he will also bring us through if we trust him. We have to put our trust in him. Psalm 23:4, we all know Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why is that? Why don't we fear evil? For thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When we are in these deepest, hardest valleys, we have no need to fear evil, because who took us there? The shepherd took us there. He didn't take us there to let us die or to destroy us or let us be eaten up by the wolves. He didn't do that. He took us there because he had a purpose. But we trust him. We trust the shepherd. We will fear no evil, for the shepherd is with me. And thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Do you trust the shepherd? Do you take comfort in correction or direction? That's the rod and the staff. It's the direction and the correction. Do we take comfort in that? The psalmist writer said, I take comfort in direction and correction. That is, again, our flesh doesn't want to hear that. Our flesh doesn't like that. That's another area we have to crucify. Correction and direction are the voice of the shepherd. Are you hearing his voice this morning? Let's turn to Isaiah 26:3. One of the most powerful verses that Isaiah wrote here. Has to do with trusting. Isaiah 26:3. Very simple verse. We probably could all quote it by heart. Thou would keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. We read over that so fast, we have it so well memorized, that it's hard to really grasp what he is saying. Thou would keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Because he trusteth in thee. We could say that this many different ways. We could maybe say it backward. We trust in the Lord. And because we trust in the Lord, our mind is fixed on the Lord. And because our mind is fixed on the Lord, we have perfect peace. Or we might say it this way. Trust is the foundation. In this verse, trust is the foundation. A mind fixed on Christ is the action. And having perfect peace is the fruit. The foundation is trust. We trust God. The action is our mind is continually, we continually fill our mind with Christ. And because we trust God, and because we fill our mind with Christ, we have the peace, perfect peace, flowing out of our lives. It's a powerful verse. Isaiah 26:4 says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord is Jehovah. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Well, I sure want to trust in everlasting strength. Following the shepherd, following the voice of the shepherd, is also trusting. Another aspect is serving. Serving is the result of following the shepherd and hearing his voice. John 12:26, it says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. He's saying it a little different way. And where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. When we are serving others, we are serving Christ. When we are following Christ, we are serving. And we serve because we follow. We follow because we serve. It kind of follows each other. Matthew 25:40 says this about when we are serving others, we serve Christ. It says, and the king shall answer and say unto them, that's the sheep on the right hand, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of one of these of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And then in Matthew 20, verse 25, let's turn there. Matthew 20, verse 25. It's good to turn to scriptures this morning. We played ball real hard yesterday, and our flesh needs a bit of crucifying to stay awake. So if we turn to scriptures, it helps us do that. Matthew 20, yes, Matthew 20, verse 25 through 28. And Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever shall be will be your chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to minister. He walked on this earth ministering to others. Now we follow his footsteps. And as we follow his footsteps, we serve others. So an aspect of hearing the voice of the shepherd, putting it to action and following him is we serve others. We serve others. And it's such a blessing to serve others. In Colossians 3:24, it says, knowing that of the Lord, ye shall receive a reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. We shall receive an inheritance because we serve Christ. Another aspect of following is suffering. As Jesus went through this life, he suffered much. He suffered mockery. He suffered physical hardships. He suffered difficulties of not having a home or a place to lay his head. He suffered those things. Now we are his sheep. We follow, and we too suffer. Suffering is not pleasant. What does suffering have to do with hearing the voice of the shepherd? Jesus suffered. We follow him for his name's sake. John 16:33, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So Jesus is encouraging us with this verse. Yes, we will have tribulation in this world. We will have sorrow. We are in this fallen, sin-cursed world, as Jesus was when he walked in this earth. And he had tribulation. He had sorrow. Let us take heart in that. Suffering is part of following. Following is the result of hearing the voice of the shepherd. I think we'll leave that suffering point for here for now. And I'd like to turn a little bit gears here, or a direction here. It seemed that up to now was kind of heavy. It felt difficult. Well, this suffering part is, or this following part is a difficult life. It is a hard life. But another aspect of it is abundant life. Let's turn to verse, you might still be in John 10, but John 10, verse 10 and 11. John 10, verse 10 and 11. Talks about another aspect of the good shepherd. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Jesus came that we might have abundant life. Not just life. He said, I came to give you life. And it's almost like he corrected himself or put emphasis to it. Not only life, but abundant life. Following Christ is an abundant life. It is a full life. It is a good life. Jesus, even though when he walked through this earth, he had many difficulties. It was abundant. He had great joy. And he expressed that in many times. We have abundant life. The result of following Jesus is having an abundant life, a full life. It is a blessing to serve others. It is a blessing to pour out on others and help others. So that is one of the rewards of an abundant life. Ephesians 1, and we need to turn there too. This is another favorite scripture of mine. Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll read verse 1 through 8. Looking at this abundant Christian life. Actually, I think we'll start at verse 3. And verse 3 through 8. There, it goes farther here, but we'll stop at verse 8. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us. He's given us all these spiritual blessings. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption. We sang about the spirit of adoption. Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And it just goes on about those blessings and the abundance that he gives us. Following Jesus is an abundant life. It is a life that should cause us to have joy. And it is a life that should cause us to wake up in the morning with purpose. We should have purpose. If we don't have purpose in this life, Then something is hindering us. Maybe it's the flesh. Maybe it's the cross bearing we have to deal with. We should have purpose. It's an abundant life. It's a blessing to follow Jesus, to be a follower of Christ. Another point about following Jesus is eternal security. Now, we might say, well, wait a minute, we're not Calvinists here. But I didn't say unconditional eternal security. But we do have eternal security. And Jesus promised it right here in this text in John 10, in verse 27 and on through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then he goes on and talks about him and the Father being one. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. But he isn't done yet, because it's not the end of the sentence there in verse 27. It continues right on. And I give unto them eternal life. Jesus gives us eternal life. And no man can pluck us out of his hand. Now that doesn't say that we can't walk away with God, from God. I have seen men walk away from the Lord. And that is possible, and that is then we're not following anymore, we're following our flesh. And if we're not following our flesh, there's no eternal reward. If we were following our flesh, there's no eternal reward for that. There's no reward for following the flesh. But Jesus says, you hear my voice, you follow, and I give you eternal life, and no man is going to snatch you away. That hireling, the devil, is not going to take you away. If you stay fixed and focused and on me and trust in me, and you shall not be able, no one shall be able to take you out of my hand. Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, this is Paul speaking, that he that which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will continue. He will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I just want this to be an encouragement for us. Is following Jesus is an abundant life. Following Jesus brings eternal rewards. Let's follow Jesus with all our heart. This might have sounded like a message about following, but like I said before, following is a result of hearing the voice of the shepherd. Let's be careful that the voice of strangers doesn't dim us out and doesn't dim out the voice of the shepherd. That is, I think, one of the greatest hindrances in our Christian life today. There are so many strangers out there just filling our minds. Let's be careful that we don't allow that to happen. Luke 16:13, it says, no man can serve two masters. We can't hear both the shepherd and the stranger at the same time. We tried it yesterday morning, and it went all right. But after the voice of the stranger was gone, then we could clearly hear the voice of the shepherd and all the beauty that went along with it. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the shepherd, love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot listen to the voice of the master and the voice of the shepherd at the same time. We try many times, but it doesn't really work too well. I'd like to turn to the Christian hymnary, and I think it's page 827. In closing, we'd like to sing this song. My sheep hear my voice. 8:27, and I'll take a pitch from Junior. My sheep know my voice and the path that I take. They follow wherever I go. My sheep hear my voice and they come at my call. But the stranger's voice do they not know. My sheep hear my voice, and day by day they abide in the fold. They go not astray. They love me because I have made them my joy, and my follow my call, for my sheep know my voice. Let's all stand. My sheep know my voice and the pastures of green, where I am no elf and to feed. My sheep know my voice and the cool sparkling stream, where in thy waters I go. My sheep know my voice from day by day. They abide in the fold and go not astray. They love me because I have made them my joy, and they follow my call, for my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice and the valley of death, through which I shall lead them someday. But no stranger or harm can turn one of them, for I will be with them always. My sheep know my voice, and day they abide in the fold. They go not astray. They love me because I have made them my joy, and they follow my call, for my sheep know my voice.
You may be seated.